What do London and pistachios have in common? It's the Tim and Tim 2022 event recap. Join us.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Tim and Tim Talk event production. My name is Tim Kay, the executive producer of Argus HD, and of course, Tim Kerbavas, how are you? The technical director of Talon Audiovisual.
It's great to be here,
my friend.
It's good to be back.
It's great to be back, isn't it? Listen, before we jump into the episode, we have a good one planned for our audience. Let's give a shout out to the audience, Tim. First, thanks to the viewers that have been watching the episodes. We really appreciate it. This is an interactive show, so thank you to those. And also a big shout out to the new folks that have been finding us in our more recent episodes. We hope that we continue the earning your viewership time. We know that's valuable.
And speaking of this podcast, Tim, we've been kind of delinquent in recording. Why is that? We've been really busy, right?
I mean, delinquent, Tim. Like, just throw us right under the bus.
I know.
Okay, but it's fair. It's a fair word. And so that's what this episode is going to be about. Is just Tim. Let's just pick a couple of our ones. And you know what? We don't have to pick the most fanciest, the sexiest shows that we've done. The ones with the most bells and whistles. Let's just pick something that, I don't know, interests you and I, and then share that with the audience and see if that connects.
So, what do you want to talk about first, Tim? What show do you want to start this episode with?
Oh, Tim, why are you always starting with me? Fine. Let's go. All right. I got this ready. Here it is. This one's a first one. As we like to say, we like to go to the other side of the pond on this one for what is a Remy production. Tim, do you know what a Remy production, by the way, stands for?
I always forget what the acronym, I think it's Remote Integration Model, I think is what it stands
Ooh.
For.
Remote and then integration at the end, maybe. I don't even know the answer.
Model, I think, is what it stands for, but I don't actually remember.
You know, this is one of these legacy words that are around. So, okay, somebody in the comments, maybe put what you think Remy is, because I think depending on what coast you're from, they're going to have a different interpretation of this. So we have a Remy production. We flew to London.
But Tim, what do you mean by Remy? We haven't defined what we were talking about.
Gotcha. Good point, Tim. So Remy production is essentially only sending out the core crew to the on-site location. And what we're going to do is send the signals back to, actually, Tim, right back here. So as you can see, our control, our inbound, and it was switched right over here.
And so this and is a model, this is a model that's used for sports broadcasts a lot, Tim, but not necessarily a lot in corporate.
And it's new to sports, right? This is a new, relatively new model now. We're seeing this. Actually, Pac-12 is a big one of the early adopters of this, where they're just sending out connections. So, we're really excited. As a matter of fact, this is one of our first shows that we definitely our furthest show that we've done a Remy production for. And so what we did was we sent a team of, it was myself and my video director, Mark, and that's it. We flew to London, as you can see in this space. It's absolutely a beautiful space. And there you see our camera operators. They're actually local. The cameras are local. I mean, Tim, when I tell you that we just brought the bare minimum, that's all we brought. One of the big discussions that we had in this production, one of the fun conversations, you know, you and I spent a lot of time is like, okay, how do we sync the cameras and what is the best way, but also the most cost effective way, right? Or should we say cost prohibitive? Because some of the easiest solutions were one that essentially just broke the bank. Right?
So what did you end up choosing and what technology and why?
Cool. So we kind of actually did this Remy a little different. What we did was we brought our camera cut local. So you can see Mark with the switcher in front of him. And essentially, instead of sending three feeds back, we're only going to send one feed back. And so you're basically saying, well, why not just stream that? Well, there's a couple more steps. We had video rolls, that we had breaks, we had graphics. And plus our encoding over here is much more robust and powerful. So by sending just one person there to switch our feed, we now brought it all back here where we can control, we can add the graphics, we can add the element, we could use our fiber gigabit and also our satellite backup in case we needed to. And what we used to deploy this was our TVU backpack. You know, big shout out. This is our first time we've known of TVU for a long time, but this is the first time that we really used it. And it's an amazing product. Let me just tell you that 1 second latency, 1080 30p or was it 60p? I can't. One of those two, and no hiccups for a multi-day show. Absolutely perfect.
And so you mentioned you have this control room in San Francisco that you're adding the graphics and overlays on. How are you monitoring that broadcast program from London?
Yes. That was another one of the conversations that we had, right, Tim? So this is, we had a couple different options with this. You could use the technology that they provide, but Tim, if I can be honest with our viewers right now, it's kind of expensive. Mm. And at the end of the day, it's really just a WebRTC. So you know what we did, Tim? We just used a WebRTC. And the beauty about this was we didn't have to pay licensing charges for each station that we put a drop at. We essentially created a Google Video Hangout. We put, and you can see one of the photos there. So basically one of the iPads in between Mark and myself is the program returned back here from San Francisco that was sent to London. I believe the delay was like just under, just over a second. But what else was really cool is we had our camera ops log in. And so they were using that as a return. They could see graphics. Oh, by the way, we were talking with everyone with Unity comms, worked very, very well. And so that's how we just got away with it. You don't need to use the expensive licensing features. In this use case, just using a video conference, whether it be Zoom, whether it be Google, would work fantastic.
And that also allowed folks offsite potentially to watch it as well, right? They didn't even have to be in the room in London or San Francisco. They could have been at home on Unity and an iPad.
Totally. And, you know, just like you're saying, you know, anywhere, and you don't have to worry about, you know, paying, you know, per license, paying per fee. So that, we're really happy with that solution.
Really interesting. You know, interesting you started with Remy and this remote production model, because I have a project that's very different implementation of remote production, both different technologies.
Tim, we're going to talk about your, let me just say goodbye to my crew. By the way, Tim, can you look at the crew on stage? This, by the way, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but this was the one where, you know, when you bring a good crew together, you can see us on stage right here. We just met a couple of days ago, these cameras, fantastic. And this is what I'm going to say in closing, Tim, here, and then let's talk about yours, is folks, make sure to work on your network. Mm. Make sure to expand your network, because it's a two-way street. So now when we travel to Europe, we can offer our clients a great value-saving proposition because we're hiring local talent. But now you are also a known name to where you travel. And that production company that's coming to San Francisco, we get those inquiries all the time, now give you a call, give us a call, because they trust you. So not only does it save your client money, but it's, in a weird way, Tim, going to make you money because your name is now going further.
And that's super important, Tim, to both, you know, showcase the people we're working with here in this crew photo, and also to recognize that our networks are what make us stronger. And I think one of the things I value most about our industry is really how collaborative we are. I mean, even though, you know, ultimately we're competing for some of the same work, I think we make a better industry when we work together and support each other. And I think, you know, as I talk about this project that I'm coming to, this came out of that kind of referral. I just got a phone call that someone that I had actually never worked with just said, "Hi, I need help," because they knew who I was. And that was super
valuable. So you're saying you did not work with this person before? Like, did you even know this person that gave you this phone call?
So the person who actually physically was on the phone was someone that I'd worked with, but it was a production company that I'd never worked with, and someone that I'd that I still have not physically met. It was all remote. And so one of the things about remote production, right, is you can tap into people all over the world, just like you tapped into your team in London. And in this project, you know, I was coming in to a very, very interesting situation where, in this case, we were doing remote production. There's a control room that was switching a show for a major company's all hands meeting. And this was like thousands of attendees virtually all over the country. And this conference had an opening and a closing live musical performance being broadcast into this conference. And it came to pass that the day before the opening performance, the artist's team was unable to get the broadcast into the control room. They were unable to get their studio to connect to the control room.
Well, I mean, so Tim, like, why didn't they just run like an SDI or HDMI cable? Why bring you in?
So this was a very complex production that included multiple locations on the West Coast, locations on the East Coast, and locations in the Midwest. And they were connecting all these different locations, both studio and control room locations, over the internet for live conference and live performances. Mm. And it really came down to that the studio's for the artists' performances, the opening and closing performances, were unable to actually get their studios to connect to the control room. And so this phone call that I got was basically, can you be at this studio tonight in order to help them, you know, basically get the stream out the door? And so it was really interesting. Got on a plane, flew down to this studio, and ended up bringing a few tricks. And we talk about Remy, and you talked about the TVU. I was using a very different uplink technology. I was using this product from Peplink, which is a bonded cellular SD-WAN solution, to basically create a VPN tunnel from this venue over multiple cell connections, Starlink satellite, and the local venue internet connection to go back to this control room.
And this is, by the way, this is something that I think the viewers should know. Tim, you and I, we communicate all the time. We share our ideas all the time. And our execution sometimes could not be more different.
Absolutely. And we've had so many conversations about this very question, right?
Yes. We've decided to go down two different paths. So viewer, there is no right answer. The right answer is the tool that works for you. Take us as an example. Same solution, two different ways to solve for it. Sorry, Kim, go ahead.
No, absolutely. And so what we were doing, and I'll show a picture here. I've blurred out the screens and some of the information here to protect the integrity of the show here. But you know, looking at this picture, you can see a bunch of computers and some hardware up on a shelf. And what we're looking at here is the Peplink bonded cellular router. I think I just out of frame, we've got the actual cell antennas. And then on the table, there's these computers and there's this Epiphan Pearl Nano encoder. And it was fairly interesting. We had two different streams essentially leaving the building. We had the Pearl Nano was doing an SRT stream for the musical performance. And then we also had a laptop doing a Zoom call. And the Zoom call was for a live Q&A with the artist after the performance.
Wait, so, okay, hold on, Tim. If I understand you correctly, so you have the SRT stream, you have the Zoom feed. Why are you not just sticking to one? Why the SRT and the Zoom? Also, why the SRT when there's so many different streaming protocols that you could have used? Why did you ultimately settle on that?
Right. So interestingly, this performance had two components. There was the actual live musical performance where the artist was performing their songs. And then there was also a Q&A with audience members asking live questions of the artist. And so the two components were selected for different reasons. The Zoom call was selected for, you know, the best two-way conversation, have fluid two-way conversation, and, you know, have the echo cancellation and really just make the Q&A easy. But we really wanted the best possible video quality for the actual performance and the best possible audio quality for the performance. And so the SRT stream had a couple advantages. There was no audio processing. It was just straight off the console what the audio engineer was sending to the encoder. And it was, you know, full resolution video with very little compression. And it let us manually dial in the resolution, the frame rate, the bit rate of the stream to maximize our internet connection and go back to the studio where there was a fairly fancy digital router that was able to ingest that signal and bring it into the production switcher.
It sounds like you really, you know, thought through. I like this, Tim, and I'm actually really, you know, for the viewers watching this, I'm really proud of Tim for all the work that he did building up your system. And it just so happened, like, when you got the phone call, like, you were just still adding like brand new parts. I think these like manufacturers just like releasing parts. This was literally you at the cutting edge delivering a great service and a great product. So, I mean, kudos to you for that, Tim.
Super exciting, and super exciting to get to combine cellular, terrestrial internet and satellite in a really innovative and, as you said, fairly, innovative and exciting way.
The Starlink. How cool is that, Tim? I love it.
Absolutely. So we've talked about remote production. We've talked about some cutting edge technologies. We've talked about some really exciting things, but I want to talk a little bit about just like, you know, some really traditional AV. You had a project that had some really great fundamentals of AV, Tim.
You know, Tim, at the end of the day, it's about it's getting your basics right. It's just getting your ABCs, do them well, and you have happy clients and you deliver happy shows. And really, that's what we're in the business for. I think us as technicians, let me speak for myself, we can get very excited that Remy production was awesome. We're using, you know, 6 cellular bonded networks to create a fantastic feed and zero, you know, our latency was under a second. All these tech specs that the clients will essentially just gloss over, right? This is, so this show that we just did in San Francisco was none of that, Tim. Absolutely none of that. It was basic AV, and we love it. And we love doing basic AV too. This is our what we came from. Let's dive into this. So what we have here, we have a 1,000 in-person event. Tim, those are back in case you haven't realized. at the cruise ship terminal in San Francisco. This is an active cruise ship terminal. That's important to remember at the end of the story because we find out why it's active. The goal in this, the goal that we were tasked to execute was the general session. And I believe it's 2 breakout rooms. And okay, you know what? One of the cool things, actually, I'm just going to jump ahead here for the 2 breakout rooms, is Silent Disco. Tim, have you run into Silent Discos? I think I'm a fan of them now. This is the first show that we've used them for, second show, I would say, that we used them for audio.
Yeah, it's super great when you have crowded spaces or multiple sessions occurring in the same room. I've seen it a lot at trade shows where you have just on the open trade show floor.
Great in trade shows.
Super cool. How did you implement that? And what was it? What were the challenges with Silent Disco specifically that made it different than, you know, putting speakers on sticks in a breakout room?
Tim, I mean, how much time do we have left here? To be honest, it was really simple. Out of the box, it worked. No engineering. You literally turn it on. You set it to the 3 frequencies. You take XLR out of the audio board. It really, you would think that this would be a much more complex and robust process. And it was the complete opposite. It was easy and it was effective because, you know what? Pipe and drape, Tim, as strong and as sturdy as that looks, does not block sound. In the least.
Well, that's awesome. And that's, we talk about, super cool technology solutions. This is a technology solution, but it seems like it was a really easy to implement, simple solution. So you talked about this space with three different spaces in this event, in this, public building. How big was the crew and what were some of the crew considerations with this? Because I think that was something that you maybe mentioned to me was part of the excitement of this project.
Yeah, so definitely. So for the producers out there that are listening and watching, this was one of the bigger ones, right? This was maybe 50. Honestly, Tim, as soon as we got over like 40, I kind of lost count of like who's who. Because there's a breakout also downstairs as well that we were crew. It was an Argus crew, but this was also a union venue. So we worked with IOTC Local 16, fantastic union to work with out in the Bay Area. So we collaborated with them and it was a really big, I mean, I think this is like potentially the biggest show that we hired for the year, 50 people, right? Versus the Remy, where essentially we hired 2 camera operators, So it really shows the range that, you go from show to show and week to week.
And what were some of the other challenges besides crew, in terms of like logistics, load in, load out? What were the things that made the show, the things that kept you up at night about this show?
Oh, well, the fact is, and our producers know this one well, right? Trying to get into the space, there was already a show that was in there before us. So really like pushing the venue, trying to get the earliest possible setup time. It was an absolute challenge to work with them. The windows that they gave us were really unrealistic at the beginning. And I think, as event technical producers, it's our job to communicate this to the client and to the venue, which we did, which got us extra time. And let me tell you, that's important because we're putting basically the whole show together out of box truck. Well, really, it was 5 trucks. There's a couple semis, as you could see. And then it was a couple box. I think it was 3 box trucks and 2 semis. So it was a pretty big show to load into. And then, as you can see, some of the rentals here, always a good time when you get to rent, big giant forklifts. They're fun to drive.
Totally. And you talk about that machinery. Did that cause you any issues?
Tim, did it cause an issue? So let's go back to this is one of these situations where you never know the issue that the venue is inadvertently or unexpectedly going to cause you. This was a perfect case in this. So we sub-rented the forklift. You can see this was a giant forklift that we rented. It came on its own flatbed. That's how big it was. The company we rented from had a shortage of drivers. And we were only contractually allowed to be in that space till midnight, which means Now let's go back to there. This is a cruise ship terminal, which also means it's an immigration terminal. So they're checking passports because these folks have come off of, you know, international waters. So this is the first place that they're checking into the United States. So that means we had the the Border Patrol basically knocking on our door saying, hey, you got to get rid of this here. We're going to impound it. And we're like, what do we do? You know, we're about to get our forklift impounded by the federal government because the trucking company doesn't have enough drivers to get it out of here. Tim, there's a lot of phone calls. There's a lot of, if you want this back, you better hurry up and come get it. You know, otherwise call up Uncle Sam to get your forklift back. That was a big surprise. A very big surprise.
Wow. That sounds exciting, Tim.
It was exciting. But, you know, let's go back to the show and not necessarily the excitement parts of it or that's the challenges of it. But, you know, at the end of the day, Tim, like this show, once from a user experience, pretty straightforward, pretty much AV 101. Set up your projectors, set up your TVs, set up your monitors, make sure everything is in sync. We had to replace a couple lines because of timing issues, but really just working within the challenges of the space. And, you know, this is not necessarily we need to bring in a ton of specialized equipment. The equipment that you already have, how do you make that work in such an interesting and challenging space like this one?
So it sounds like really it's the AV fundamentals and the logistical fundamentals of how do you make a good production, how do you fit into a space, and how do you make the technology work for the event that you're having?
And that's really it, you know, getting down to the basics. And I know like you now want to talk about yours, which is probably similar, right? Well, you tell, like, yeah. How is yours?
So I had two projects at the end of the year that were both agricultural events. And so the clients here were essentially associations educating farmers about how to grow crops better. And it's really interesting for me to have clients like this because it's so different than the projects that, Tim, you and I work so much on high tech events, on Silicon Valley tech company events, on big corporate events. And to have these clients where, honestly, these are much simpler technologically, but in many ways, there's a higher importance to the content because it's really like, how do you feed people? And so it's really interesting to me to have that diversity of clients between some projects that are really, you know, exciting and high tech and, you know, really challenging technologically. And then these projects that are really like, you know, it's not a lot of technology, but it's really how do we get this right and support our clients who maybe aren't as comfortable with the technology, right? And how do we make sure they're comfortable giving their presentations and teaching, you know, their audience really, you know, this content that matters in the immediate moment, you know?
Absolutely. And so this is a food-based one, Tim. Do you work with food? Like, are they essentially one of your, when you describe like important clients, why would this be an important client in, you know, the location that you were, you even said, like, where was this actually?
Yeah.
This
so was... I had two different events. One was in San Diego and one was in Visalia, California, which is in the Central Valley, Fresno area. And with these projects, like I said, these are ag associations. And so for me, it's really interesting to have that kind of, like I said, client diversity where, you know, across our client portfolios, we're serving clients in different industries because from an event professional perspective, it provides us some like economic resiliency because, you know, different industries have different cycles and different dips and valleys. And so really having that diversity, that's one of the reasons I'm proudest to serve these clients is because it's projects that I feel good about doing because it's about feeding people, but it's also really gives me the ability to, you know, support different industries and have some of that, you know, economic diversity. One of these projects was
client diversification is key. You don't want to only be on one sector. Sure, you know, you'll ride it up when it's doing great, but you really want to be able to pivot and transition to another industry. And, you know, as you and I have been in this industry for so long, we definitely see the ebbs and flows where one industry is not ready to invest in the event AV space and another industry is just absolutely taking off. Totally agree with you on that one, Tim.
I mentioned diversity a couple times. And one of the things that was really interesting about one of these productions was that it was an international event and it was really, you know, folks in the ag industry from all over the world. And so there was actually simultaneous interpretation, but on this event, because of budget reasons, it was done by AI. So there was basically a mobile app that we were feeding the audio from all four of the rooms into this mobile app so that participants could listen on their phone headphones to a translation of what was being said on stage.
Even on basic AV, Tim, I love it. We managed to somehow sneak in the most technologically advanced possible use cases in there. Yes, we can solve it. We just need artificial intelligence. Well done, Tim, for sneaking that in.
Yeah, I don't just, you know, trying to make things work. And obviously, it fits into my goals of accessibility and making sure that everyone has a great experience. But one of the things that we talk about, you know, this being simple technologically, other than this translation, is, you know, it's not just about the technology, Tim. Just like your event highlights, just like this event highlights, it's so important that we maintain that client relationship and provide that support to the client and to the presenters, because that's really fundamentally what we're there for, is to make sure that the people in the room feel confident enough to walk on stage and give their presentation.
It is a rare client that knows, A, what equipment you're bringing. It is even a rarer client that knows the equipment and models that you're bringing. I've seen it and it surprises me. I'm like, why, absolutely. Yes, that is a camera XYZ over there. How did you know that? Most of the time, they just want to know, does it look good? Does it sound good when everything comes together? Which is also why, you know, one of these things is we don't like to, you know, I don't like to have the client on site until everything's put together, because it will make them nervous sometimes when they see the sausage being made, as we like to say in our industry, as it all comes together. It comes together. Trust me on it. This is why you hired us. You know, sometimes it's not a pretty process, but you know what? Once we're there and once it works, and same with your show, you know, I mean, those pictures look absolutely amazing. It looks like it looks so easy.
Right.
And that's the sign of a good show.
Speaking of making things look easy when there was maybe some trouble in the freight elevator, let's talk about a show that we did together, Tim, in San Jose.
This was a fun one.
This was a great show. It was a client that came to us and said, you know, we've been working with the in-house AV provider and we want an elevated experience this year. And they said, Tim, how can you help us make our show more seamless, more, you know, presenter friendly? So what did we do, Tim, when we came into this venue?
Well, this was a fun one, right? And this is one where we essentially, you bring in just tons of pipe and drape. You bring in the newest projectors. This is where you want a beautiful image to. So you don't necessarily need the latest, the state-of-the-art 3D projectors. You just need beautiful, bright projectors for this. But you also need to really think about, in a case like this, what are the clients going to throw at you? What are the curveballs? As you can see, Tim, in our graphic station over here, there is literally tons of computers. And I trust you, we're not doing this just to look cool. We're doing this because each one of these has a purpose and even a backup. Tim, how many inputs did we end up having on basically what was a one projector show? Over a dozen, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't remember the exact input count, but we had backups for everything. We had multiple different kinds of graphic stations. We had polling. We had, you know, playback. And so with all those things, they become discrete inputs into the switcher. And, you know, it became a challenge of making sure the client feels like, you know, we're there to walk them through the process, right?
And this is where, and another kudos to you, where you really excelled on this show. And I was taken back when I saw your work of art there, was your run of show was amazing. You took into account of the different inputs, all the different sources. You knew where to call them. A successful show, even a basic one like this, you're looking at it, there's nothing that complicated, right? There's really not that much complicated. But when you get into it, you have an audio cue, you have a lighting cue, you have lights moving as a cue, you have graphics, you have video playback. There's many different ways to call that all need to be synchronized. Is that even a word, Tim?
That's a word. Synchronized. Yeah, synchronized. I love
it. Great. And you did a great job on that. Like, was that a worry, a challenge for you? How was that?
This was a client that I'd worked with before. And so I knew some of the places that they were going to try to throw us curveballs. And so I tried to build into that runner show, you know, really a plan for every scenario and have in the back of my mind that someone on stage might do something different than the script said. So being ready with what's our backup plan if they walk off the other direction or they call for something as an audible and we have to bring that up.
And that's an important, so we've been talking a lot to the producer audience, but for our clients, for our event producers that are listening, you know, sticking with your same vendor, you probably know this, I'm speaking to the choir, right? How important that is if you're happy with somebody. Also, if you're not happy with somebody, make that change quickly, because you kind of know, you have that feeling inside of you, you're like, you know, it was good, but it could be great, you know? Make that change, find a vendor that makes you feel comfortable, because all of the clients that we work with, they there's no doubt once they've left, once that show's over, they're like, this was great. Let's have some ideas. Maybe we want to add more lights, more monitors. Those are the happy conversations at the end, right, Tim? Not necessarily, oh, when you lost that image on screen.
Totally. And just making sure that everyone has confidence in each other, that just as much as the clients have confidence in us, you know, we know that we're getting all the information we need from the clients and that communication is happening two ways.
Fantastic. Well, Tim, let's save some of these other projects for later shows. I know we have some other fun ones. This was a great sort of recap. I like that we just didn't focus on the technology ones that were, you know, the sexiest shows that we've done, but also ones that are basics. And I think what we can take away from those basic ones is it's all about client communication, client trust, and most importantly, delivering for the client.
Absolutely. Making sure that we're all on the same page and executing really, you know, that show that everyone wanted to have.
Cool. Well, so thank you for tuning in. If by the way, folks, if you think that if you have any technical questions, you know, event questions, please feel free to hit us up. We love the messages. This is an interactive show, as we said earlier. So definitely reach out. If you have a project in mind, we would also love to hear about it. If you think we might be a great fit, we absolutely love this. We do this so much that we end up talking about it in front of cameras for you guys. And it's a pleasure.
Absolutely. And, cool. And if you want to leave us a comment, we've been getting some comments in the last couple months in our hiatus here, and it's been great to see folks' response and whether they're folks calling us out for things they feel like we're missing or asking for other additional information. We really appreciate that. And if you did want to reach us by email, you can email us. It's Tim's, T-I-M-S, at timandtimtalk.com.
Was it Tim's? Is that Tim's? How many S's was
only
that?
One S, only one S, Tim. Only okay. One S.
Tim's.
We'll put that great. In the comments too, yeah. Or the description too. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So that's a great place to end. Thank you so much for watching. My name is Tim Kay.
And I'm Tim Kerbavas.
And we talked.
Bye.